We come together today seeking a reality beyond our narrow selves that binds us in compassion, love and understanding to other human beings and to the interdependent web of all living things. May our hearts and minds be opened this hour to the power and insight that weaves together the scattered threads of our experience and help us to remember the wholeness of which we are part. We come together to renew our faith in the holiness, the goodness, the beauty of life. To reaffirm the way of the open mind and the full heart. To rekindle the flame of memory and hope. And to reclaim the vision of an earth more fair, with all her people one. Our chalice lighting words today are by Jane Blackall. May the light of this chalice be a reminder of the shared values and principles around which we gather, upholding the inherent worth and dignity of every person, cherishing all those diverse creatures and habitats with whom we share this earth, our home, seeking human liberation and flourishing, serving the common good of all. May this little light and all it represents make a home in our hearts, where it will ever guide us back to our highest aspirations and help us be responsive, creative, just and loving in this complex and ever-changing world. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away and the clouds of war and climate change hover. May we keep in touch however we can and help each other however we may. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have and to respect the wishes of others. And may we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading is by Maria Curtis. If earth is the primary revelation of the divine, if God is immanent in the natural world, as Tenentheist theologians claim, if we regard earth as our sacred mother, along with many pagan and indigenous people, if the world is charged with the grandeur of God, in the words of Gerald Manley Hopkins, our attitude should be one of reverence. The gift of life comes unmerited, undeserved. We should be delirious with joy and gratitude for this bounty. We have our senses to perceive the riot of colour, scent and sound. We have the joys of touch and taste. We have minds that can apprehend beauty. we should celebrate the diversity of all forms of life on earth. Miraculous, the creativity inherent in matter. What would it mean to honour the earth? To be in right relationship with the earth, her land, oceans, rivers, air, and all her plants and animals. I think we know what an unholy relationship looks like. On our shores in the British Isles, privatised water companies are pouring untreated sewage straight into the sea. Even the moon cannot escape this abuse. I cannot get out of my mind the image of used nappies abandoned by astronauts on its surface. That is not reverence. We humans have sullied the earth. We have fouled our own nest. Our exploitation of the earth's resources has despoiled the planet. We have treated living things, plants and animals, whole ecosystems, as if they were just stuff rather than beings. We have shown no respect for the millions of years that went into creating them. I invite you now to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is From an Earth Spirit Perspective by Penny Quest, from Cherishing the Earth, Nourishing the Spirit. In our increasingly industrialized and technological modern world, we seem to have lost touch with our natural environment. Yet everything that we have is provided by our planet Earth, from our food and clothing to our homes and all that we have within them. We plunder the planet for its minerals and metals, its coal and oil and gas, to provide us with electricity, to operate even more complicated manufactured devices, as well as providing heat and light and means of transport. And all of this means that we have largely lost our sense of connection with the natural world, and our respect for, and our sense of gratitude to, Mother Earth. We have placed ourselves at the pinnacle of creation, rather than seeing ourselves as simply part of the web of life. It has become even more apparent in recent years that our greed for progress, our culture of demanding more, 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 is responsible for degrading the environment and creating the current climate change crisis. Instead of asserting dominance over the natural world, we need to develop a sense of humility that will lead us towards a more reciprocal relationship with it. Yet we have become much more aware of our environmental responsibilities now that climate change is beginning to have such an impact on our lives, with sometimes disastrous changes in weather patterns. We also recognise that it is not just humans who are being affected by these changes, but that all forms of life, from animals, birds, fish, and the insects we need for pollination, to plants, crops and trees, can be affected by droughts and floods, temperature changes and fires. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Earth Mother, our fragile floating home, we hear your weeping. As we sit in our comfort, help us to see how changes, large and small, can make a difference to our suffering siblings. Let us put the natural world at the heart of every action, at the centre of every decision, choosing to tread lightly on the earth, so that we may be good ancestors to those not yet born, and good stewards of that which is yet to grow. May we not be bowed down by our despair for the future, but use our anger as potent fuel to energise our actions for a fairer world for all. Amen. Our final reading is called Owning the Shadow, Becoming Conscious by Sheena Gabriel. Of course, it must be admitted that religion contributed to the mess that we are in. Scripture taken too literally created a mindset of domination, giving rise to the Protestant work ethic and the Industrial Revolution, and encouraging wealthy factory owners, some of them Unitarians, to pollute the skies, rivers and soil in the name of progress. But if religion is part of the problem, secularism has not served us any better. Our shrines are now shopping malls, and our gods are celebrity icons. We have disconnected from nature, and until we learn to see Earth as a living being, as Indigenous peoples do, we will continue to exploit her. People have talked about the ecological crisis for decades. The theologian Augustine of Hippo, 1500 years ago, lamented his slow awakening to God's love. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. That lament is my own, as I belatedly awaken to the beauty of the earth, and the consolation that nature provides is marred by my awareness of its suffering. I find myself weeping at film footage of a scrawny polar bear rummaging for scraps of food in a town miles away from his melting home, and at images of the last two white northern rhinos on the planet, mother and daughter. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection. So find a position in which it's comfortable for you to sit and think and pray. There'll be some words, there'll be a time of silence, then a few more words. Spirit of all that is, we give thanks for beauty unnoticed, for the many miracles of nature which lie like unopened love letters strewn about our feet, awaiting a response. May we not be blind or indifferent to the prodigious gifts that come our way. Grant us the vision to see the world with fresh eyes, to look beneath the surface of things, and to be open to secrets that lay hidden. Let us ponder these things in the silence. Help us to remember that despite the pain and suffering that haunts our world, somewhere in the universe, beauty is always unfolding. Silently, secretly, without fanfare, waiting to be discovered. May it be so. Amen. Let us have some music. Thank you. Last Tuesday, the 22nd of April, was Earth Day. According to the National Today website, for the past 50 years, Earth Day has been celebrated by billions of people around the globe, annually, every April 22nd, to join together in promoting awareness for the health of our environment. Why should we continue to celebrate this holiday? Some people may view it as just another holiday, or an excuse to wear green and a flower crown, similar to St. Patrick's Day. But with serious concerns about our changing environment being studied and addressed today by prominent scientists, politicians, and young climate change activists alike, some people are adapting to more environmentally friendly ways of living every day, not just on April 22nd every year. And a couple of years ago, at our General Assembly meetings, a new book was launched called Cherishing the Spirit, Cherishing the Earth, Nourishing the Spirit, from which all the readings of today's service came. We are becoming ever more aware of the climate crisis that is affecting the whole of the blue-green planet we call home. The book presents a variety of responses by Unitarians, lay people, ministers, and children to the global ecological crisis we are currently facing. Their insights range from the prophetic and political to the practical and intensely personal. And all of the contributors are clear that we are in this situation because of our past and present blindness to the downsides of progress, and that we urgently need to do something before it is too late, if it is not already too late. Yet humankind has not always been aware of the damage we are doing to the planet and its inhabitants, to all the living things which make up the interconnected web of life. The German poet Heinrich Heine lived in the first half of the 19th century, when human, industrial and technological progress was seen as an unambiguous good. He wrote, "I believe in progress. I believe humanity is destined for happiness." We Unitarians too believed in the progress of humankind, onward and upward forever. Sadly, in the 170 years since Heine's death in 1856, we have come to understand that progress is far from being a universal good. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. Back then, all the industrial and technological progress came at a price ignored by many: the terrible working conditions of the industrial poor and the exploitation of people and lands all over the world. In terms of the Earth's history, humankind has not been around for very long, for the last few minutes of a 24-hour day. But our impact on the planet has been out of all proportion to that time. And it is not even as though humankind has always had a bad effect on the planet's resources. For centuries and millennia, people lived on the Earth more or less in harmony with it, growing the food they needed to eat and mining the minerals they needed to make basic tools. And this still holds true in so-called primal cultures today. For example, Native American religion tends to be closely related to the natural world. The local terrain is elevated with supernatural meaning, and natural objects are imbued with sacred presences. Ceremonial rituals involving these supernatural natural objects are meant to ensure communal and individual prosperity. Native Americans have a love for and reverence for the land they live on, and understand that there is an underlying balance in nature which must not be upset. And the same applies to other indigenous cultures, such as the Aborigines and the Maori. There's a lovely bit in the film Crocodile Dundee, when Mick Dundee is explaining to Sue, the New York reporter, about the relationship between the Aborigines and the land. He explains that they don't own the land. They just live on it and with it. It's their mother. We also have a thriving pagan tradition in this country, which has much in common with other primal religions around the world. In the old days, that is, before the Industrial Revolution, most of humankind lived much more closely to the earth. It is only in the last 200 years or so, with the huge technological so-called advances that have been made in Western society, that the connection has been broken. In that time, to quote Jonathan Helfand, a Jewish theologian, Western man has acted as lord and master of his environment, paying no heed to the effects of his actions on the environment. In the name of progress, water, land, air, and the wildlife they support have been despoiled and depleted, perhaps beyond reclaim. A group of Unitarians, who call ourselves Unitarians for Climate Justice, was founded a few years ago under the leadership of Rob Alton. We hold regular events to raise awareness of the problems our world is facing. I am so glad that we are a part of this, because we only have one planet. They and other climate justice groups are seeking to help people to understand that there are better ways to live, based on a lifestyle which Unitarian author John Naish calls enoughness. Because in spite of all the publicity for the climate crisis, we are still a society of consumers, with our heads buried firmly in the sand. Natural resources such as gas and oil are running out, and the biodiversity on which our planet depends for its health is at risk from the activities of humankind. And it is not only other people who are to blame. We are all to blame. I've been watching the recent David Attenborough programme Wild Isles again in the last few weeks about the natural life in the British Isles. And he has made it crystal clear that species of animals, birds, fish, plants and insects are dying out here, now, because of the activities of humankind in our country. In In 2019, Extinction Rebellion published a book called This Is Not a Drill. In it, the authors wrote, "This is a crisis that requires radical system change on a scale never seen before. The challenge we now face is extremely daunting because the problem, unfortunately, is not just the climate. The problem is ecology. The problem is the environment. The problem is biodiversity. The problem is capitalism. The problem is colonialism. The problem is power. The problem is inequality. The problem is greed and corruption and money and this tired, broken system. The problem is our complete and utter failure to imagine any meaningful alternative." Harsh words, but true ones, which I believe we all need to hear. And it is not as though this is fresh news. More than a decade ago, or thereabouts, the AGM of the Midland Unitarian Association was held in Shrewsbury, and our guest speaker was Brighton Unitarian John Naish. A few years earlier, in 2008, he had published a book called Enough, Breaking Free from the World of Excess. When he spoke to us in Shrewsbury, he preached the doctrine of practicing enoughness in a world of more, more, more. He explained that instead of forever chasing after the next goal, the next project, the next gadget, we should appreciate what we have and be grateful, and that we should grow our gratitude by appreciating the bounty of our lives. At our GA meetings in 2023, our anniversary preacher, Reverend Winnie Gordon, spoke out powerfully for the need for all of us to show up for justice. Among many other issues, she spoke about climate change, saying, "World leaders agreed in 2015 that we should do everything possible to limit the temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Currently, it stands at 1.15 degrees Celsius, dangerously close to that limit. An estimated 30%, that's 30, of species face increased extinction rates as Earth's temperature rises, according to the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Last year saw record-breaking temperatures, floods and droughts. Storms devastated many regions, destroying crops and livelihoods, pushing communities to the brink of famine. One third of Pakistan was plunged underwater. Wildfires devastated wildlife, land and homes. Of the 59.1 million people internally displaced in 2021 across the world, most were displaced by climate-related disasters. She went on to ask, "When will we wake up and be truly aware of the problems and how we are complicit in them?" And stated, "Our faith calls us to responsibility for the fate of this planet, calls us to account for each other in our working, playing, nurturing and growing, our educating and profiting. In this world, now and for all generations to come, activism transcends creed, dogmas, doctrine and social contracts, if done right, and mends, makes whole the divisions and separateness that our individualistic beliefs create. Her words were a powerful call to action for all of us, by all of us. I believe that if we are to save our beloved blue and green planet, we will need to make extensive changes to how we live our lives, far beyond putting stuff out for recycling. Each of us has a responsibility, both to the planet and to future generations, to both make greener choices as individuals and to show up for justice, so that we may find ways to collectively make a difference. May it be so. Amen. Some closing words by me and Vince McCulley. Spirit of life and love, may God bless us with honesty, and in our honesty with ourselves, wisdom, and in wisdom, knowledge, and in knowledge of ourselves, humility, and in humility, acceptance, and in acceptance of our limitations, trust in God, and in our trust in God, courage to live as God wishes us to, happily, in love and harmony with all creatures and with all of creation. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts, now and in the days to come. Amen. Let's finish with some music.